The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Hello, this is Dane Wigginton with Geoengineering Watch Radio, the weekly global alert news hour for October 22nd, 2016. This broadcast, again, is throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, and 105.7 FM, KQMS. It's a commercial-free news hour paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. These are critical times. We need to get information out, and commercials don't help with that process. A recording of this show can be found on geoengineeringwatch.org under the radio and recent sections and top stories and the KQMS archives, and also on the PRN radio network. You can find this online, or you can call in on this podcast number anytime from any phone. The number is 701-719-0991. It's a very helpful service. If you simply call in, you can watch any of the last five global alert news shows, or not watch, but listen to, by simply pressing which number you want. Again, 701-719-0991. You can listen to the show anytime at all over the phone. Silent Epidemic, the essential view for any parent who cares about their child. Silent Epidemic is the untold story of vaccinations. It's an incredibly powerful and well-documented documentary film. The DVDs are here now. Geoengineeringwatch.org has paid for 1,000 commercial copies of these DVDs, and I simply ask, they're free. Please view them and circulate them. If you care about your children, or if you care about any children, this is imperative to view. The military, industrial, medical complex is completely off the rails. The vaccination issue is a massive threat to our children. It's imperative you know why, and not just that you accept the official narrative. You can pick up a free DVD at Orchard Nutrition. Again, I simply ask that you view it and share it with others. Also, there are some 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth DVDs there too. Don't you care about an event that changed the world, 9/11, when you have 2,700 experts speaking on the record, putting their careers and their lives on the line to make clear with an incredibly powerful presentation of science fact that the official story is utterly and totally preposterous and scientifically impossible. Buildings don't just fall down from a carbon fire, and most people don't know there was a third building that never got hit by anything that fell in 7 seconds. Why would that happen? And if that building could be explained, the collapse of that building could be explained, then why did the 9/11 Commission never even mention it? If you care about the truth, you have a responsibility to investigate the truth. Free DVDs at Orchard Nutrition and also at Reading Radio. You can pick them up. Reading Library event, next event, Saturday, November 5th, starting at 1 o'clock. Two documentaries will be shown, and I'll announce the times of those documentaries next Saturday. But one is called Home. It's an unbelievably powerful documentary on the state of the planet. Incredibly powerful view, unbelievable footage. That documentary will be shown in its entirety. Also, Peace, Propaganda, and the Promised Land. If you think you've been told the truth about what's really happening in the Middle East, specifically with Israel and Palestine, if you think you know the truth, come view this film and see what you haven't been told. This is about hard frontline facts. Again, starting at 1 o'clock November 5th, lasting till probably 5:30 in the afternoon, but two different times for documentaries, Q&A after each. You can attend one, the other, both, doesn't matter. Free materials will be there. I'll announce times next Saturday. In Reading, two Reading RABA buses, RABA, for those that don't live in this area, stands for the Reading Area Bus Authority. These are public buses, and now on the sides of these buses, banners stating Stop Climate Engineering with the geoengineeringwatch.org website. Two more buses are coming with different graphics, same message. because we need to get the word out, because people are not looking up. They're on their iPhones. They're doing whatever they do. They're not looking up above their heads and seeing the unbelievably decimated skies that are so often over our heads. And don't people wonder, for example, on Thursday of this previous week, the skies were absolutely slaughtered with expanding, lingering, jet-sprayed particulate trails covering the sky. They expand into what looks like a cobweb-type cloud cover with lines going everywhere. And the next day, Friday morning, nothing. Nothing in the morning. Now, don't people wonder, shouldn't our sense of reason kick in when we have mountains of science data describing exactly what we see in our sky as being the proposal for solar radiation management and climate engineering? We have governments all over the globe discussing this issue. We have the head of the CIA discussing it on the record. You can view that online. We have science entities and organizations, all of them discussing this issue. When does our sense of reason kick in? It's been going on for 70 years, but on a much larger scale in recent years. Anyway, Reading buses were adding to that fleet with Geoengineering Watch banners and more such advertisement to come to pave the way for legal action that's coming. Many headlines to cover in this show, as always. The Philippines, just give a taste of this, I'll elaborate later in the show. The Philippines has officially had enough of the U.S., as I've stated earlier, and now, this last week, has declared on the record it is walking away from the U.S. and is going to ally itself with China. I'm not a fan of China, but how can we argue the Philippines walking away from the U.S. when we consider what's been done to them? So let's consider this. Is it a coincidence that in the same week, this last week, the Philippines was slaughtered with a second major hurricane landfall in 1 week, just over a week? Two major cyclone landfalls hitting the Philippines in a week. Let's consider now that the U.S. has not had a major impact for almost 12 years. Who do you think has the most control over the weather? Is that a coincidence that the Philippine president officially walked away from the U.S. this last week and was their country was hit at the same time with a major hurricane landfall, did immense damage? I'll more on that later in the show. Another headline I'll cover later in this issue, this installment of Global Alert News. If the U.S. and its allies are really trying to fight ISIS, which we already know is not the case, data bears that out, but if they're really trying to fight ISIS, then why were nearly 1,000 ISIS fighters given a safe route out of Mosul in Iraq so that they could migrate to Syria and continue the U.S.-sponsored carnage against the Syrian people? More on that story later in this issue. For Northern California, many parts of the world, again, lots of cloud cover, but all too often, in general, the rain comes late and less. We did have some rain recently in Northern California. Don't argue that. But that doesn't mean that much of that precipitation wasn't siphoned off. And by the way, when you saturate with the atmosphere with particulates, it diminishes rainfall overall. And this doesn't mean that deluge is not happening in other parts of the country, because too many people try to think dichotomously. It's either this or that. Can't be both. Of course it's both. We have a planet that's in total meltdown, so the atmosphere carries more water. But the climate engineers, one of their goals is to reduce atmospheric relative humidity, because relative humidity, atmospheric humidity, water vapor is a greenhouse gas. And I've spoken to an insider from these programs from Oak Ridge Laboratory that confirmed that fact. One of the goals of the climate engineering programs is to reduce atmospheric relative humidity. So all too often when the storms, quote, storms come into Northern California, they're less than we were told. The rain is less, the wind is less, and the overall drought continues. It doesn't mean we won't have good rainstorms here and there, but let's look at the last 9 years. Can we say it's really been good? No. And people who, I want to elaborate on this. I had a conversation with someone from a large Christian institution here in town this last week, and I'm not faulting the Christians or any other spiritual system. But I'm stating this, that this person, like so many I've talked to, had this attitude about geoengineering. It's all in big hands. I don't need to worry about it. It's not my calling to deal with this issue. That's the coward's way out. And in regards to biblical doctrine, which I'm very familiar with, or quite familiar with, I should say, that doesn't allow for that type of shirking of one's responsibilities. It doesn't. It doesn't say, don't do your best to deal with bad situations. Just ram your head in the sand. It doesn't say that. And again, I'm not faulting the Christian faith at all or any other faith, but I'm simply saying when people twist it to their own comfort zone and state it's all in big hands, I don't need to worry about it, you show me with any of the great traditions where they say that's what you should do. Do nothing. It doesn't say that. We're told to be good stewards of the planet. And when something's presented to you, some dire truth of what man is doing, what our own government's doing, you have a responsibility to try to expose that situation, to deal with it, to do something about it. It's not an option, it's an obligation. I want to mention a film that I would encourage anyone, everyone, to buy a copy of online. I have nothing to do with this film, but it's a great film, and I don't think it's posted online anywhere. I think you have to buy a copy, but it's called Earth and the American Dream. It's an astoundingly well-done film. I don't know how much it costs online, but you can find it online and watch a trailer online, and it's an incredible film that documents with extremely powerful footage and history exactly the price the planet has paid for the quote American dream. And it's not just, I know we need to look at this outside of that context, it's not like other countries haven't been responsible for decimating the planet too, of course they have, but the fact is America and Americans use exponentially more resources than any other country by far. Mathematically speaking, to continue the current rate of consumption on our planet, we would need five planets or more. People don't do this math. They simply believe the Bloomberg commercials that state the GDP is going to keep going up for the next 100 years magically, even if the environment is dead. That's not going to happen. Wait and see. Now, back to climate engineering. I'll get to other stories and other headlines in a moment. But the blatant and unimaginably obvious climate engineering continues to taint our Northern California skies, skies all over the globe for that matter. The world's most recognized climate engineering scientists tell us that the global climate intervention programs, that's the new term they're using, climate intervention programs, will bring, quote, winners and losers. But I would ask this first, who gave the climate engineers and the governments that control them, the climate engineering criminal cabal, who gave them the right to decide who is decimated by the weather and who is not? The president of the Philippines might ask that right now, since he's been just slaughtered by two major hurricanes in a week. We've had the leaders of countries like Iran on the floor of the UN, which our media doesn't tell us about, stating emphatically that their countries are being droughted out by NATO weather modification programs, and they have air forces and radar. They know exactly what's going on in their airspace, and they know exactly what's happening. But we don't see that here. So who gets to decide who is the, quote, winner and the loser? Those with the most power. And that's clearly the United States military, period. And if the American population thinks that they're somehow on the winning side of that equation, are they? What's happening in California? What's happening in other parts of the country? Are we not being slaughtered with weather warfare too? And this is not to say that we would not have bad weather without climate engineering. We would. The planet's in total meltdown. And if climate engineering can be stopped, we'll see an unimaginable backlash from the climate because it's been meddled with for so long. But we have to allow that to happen. If you have a heroin addict, do you allow him to say getting off the drugs is simply too difficult, so I have to just keep ramping him up more? No. You have to go through the process of trying to recover. The planet must be allowed to respond to the damage done. And climate engineering is not only not allowing that to happen, it's worsening the damage every single day it's allowed to go on. So, again, I ask, who gave the climate engineers the right to decide who lives, who dies, who's the winner, who's the losers? And about the on-the-record comments by the world's most recognized geoengineers, like Dr. David Keith and Ken Caldera from Carnegie Science. Again, when they state global geoengineering programs will produce winners and losers, I would ask this. Exactly who is the winner on a planet that no longer supports life? And that's exactly where we're headed. Nobody wins in that equation. Here's a new headline from the New York Times from this last week, from October 18th. Can humans go from unintended global warming to climate by design? How long will the issue of geoengineering be danced around by mainstream media and everybody pretends it's not happening in the skies above us? It's ludicrous. It's a very poor statement of the human condition at this point to be in that much denial. From that report states this from the New York Times, geoengineering is in the wind more and more these days, particularly the use of sun-blocking aerosols. That's exactly what we see in our skies. This is from the New York Times this last week. Sun-blocking aerosols, that's SRM, solar radiation management. The Times goes on to say, sun-blocking aerosols as a cheap, temporary counterweight to greenhouse gas-driven global warming. The report continues, we've been terrible at managing emissions. Can we shift from unintended global warming to managing climate by design? Welcome to the geoengineering debate. Now, that was the New York Times statement, not mine. They stated, welcome to the geoengineering debate. So when they state a cheap temporary counterweight, how cheap is it to destroy your ozone layer, kill your boreal forest, all your forests, because of the unimaginably intense UV radiation from a destroyed ozone layer, also from geoengineering, raining contamination down on the entire planet, contaminating soils, literally slowly killing the entire population, the entire web of life. Is that cheap? We need to look at the whole equation. How can we have a science community all over the world discussing climate engineering? We should spray these particles into our atmosphere and none of them bring up this fact. Oh, by the way, gravity dictates those particles fall down where we all inhale them. Nobody even mentions it. And society doesn't seem to care because they're too busy on their iPhones. So how about global climate engineering programs, again, otherwise known as geoengineering or solar radiation management? For those that have so far chosen to blindly accept the power structure orchestrated propaganda that were fed from the power structure owned and controlled institutions like in Northern California, the Record Searchlight, a so-called newspaper, and the local Channel 7 ABC affiliate, KRCR, here's a wake-up call. Now, again, the Record Searchlight published recently a massive headline stating scientists say chemtrails aren't real. The search site will always cover disinformation, but will they cover real information? No. So, a new study was recently just performed by the Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering, a group of attorneys that works with geoengineeringwatch.org. This survey was sent out to over 1,500 climate scientists, meteorologists, and other climate experts, starting with the 77 scientists that were responsible for the propaganda piece I just mentioned that was printed in the Searchlight and other mainstream media papers all over the country, that scientists say chemtrails aren't real. So first, let me read the survey that was sent out to these 1,500 scientists. And for those that are on Geoengineering Watch, the website, they may have seen this already, but our live listeners in Northern California have not. I want to read this quickly, very simple survey question, and then I'll explain the results to you. First, the survey says this, dear expert scientists, the subject of climate engineering has become a frontline conversation in countless circles of academia and with governments around the globe. You may be aware of the rapidly building controversy over climate engineering / geoengineering and whether or not these programs have already been deployed. The Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering, LASG, is conducting a survey in an attempt to bring clarification to this controversial issue. With this objective in mind, we would be grateful if you could give a simple yes or no answer to the following question. Can you confirm for us that geoengineering programs, in large letters, have not yet been deployed by the United States government? Such programs would include, but not be limited to, solar radiation management, that's SRM, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, acronym is SAG, cloud albedo enhancement, CAE, stratospheric aerosol injection, SAI. There's a question box then in the survey. Please reply and mark X in one of the two blanks below. Blank. Yes, as an expert scientist, I can confirm that global atmospheric geoengineering programs have not yet been deployed. No, as an expert scientist, I cannot confirm that global atmospheric geoengineering programs have not yet been deployed. Finishing up on the statement, we appreciate your consideration of the very important question posted in the survey. If we do not receive a response to the simple survey question, we will assume for the purposes of the survey that as an expert scientist on weather and climate, you are not willing to state that the climate engineering, geoengineering, solar radiation management programs have not yet been deployed by the government. That's worded in a specific fashion for a reason. Thank you for your consideration. The survey finishes. Thank you for your consideration of this most important attempt to add clarification to the climate engineering, geoengineering controversy. Now, how many of those 1,500 plus scientists checked on the record that they can say climate engineering has not yet been deployed? None. Zero. None. We're willing to say on the record that they know climate engineering has not yet been deployed because they know it has. And the only reason there was a bogus article and quote-unquote study from Ken Caldera and the Carnegie Science Institution that asked about chemtrails is because chemtrails don't exist scientifically. There is no such term scientifically, so it's not hard to get some paid climate scientist who's trying to up his career by towing the line for the power structure. It's not hard to get such an individual to state on the record that chemtrails aren't real because chemtrails don't exist scientifically at all. But when you ask the same individual if they will state on the record that geoengineering, solar radiation management, is not happening, they won't do it because they know it's happening. So this list of 1,500 scientists is published on this article at geoengineeringwatch.org. Their email contacts are published. And if anyone can get any of these scientists to state on the record that geoengineering isn't happening, please tell us, show us. Show us one who will state on the record that geoengineering isn't happening. I don't think you can do it. If you can, we would love to hear about it, because the full list is there, and I encourage the public to use that list, send messages to everyone on that list, and ask them why they're participating in this, or if they can state on the record that it's not happening. Now, about the climate, again, the big weather update and the big storm that hit the Northwest that was really trumped up, just like Matthew was trumped up, Hurricane Matthew was going to make parts of Florida uninhabitable. Yes, it did a lot of damage, but did it do the damage that they claimed it would do the day before they kept the hurricane from making landfall, as I thought they would in my post from 5 days earlier? I thought they would keep it off the Florida coast, and they did until it reached a minimum 75 degrees, so they could still 75 mile an hour winds, so they could still classify it as a hurricane impact, barely a minimal hurricane. So the same thing with the Northwest storm that really wasn't what they said it would be, wasn't at all. They're aerosolizing these storms again, which diminishes the rain and the wind, both. Doesn't mean you won't have rain and wind, doesn't mean you won't have deluges in places or big gusts in places, but overall, it's not what it was. When I first moved to this mountaintop I live on the east side of Lake Shasta in 2001, when storms came in, you could see them wrapped up into the eastern Pacific, these swirls, low pressure zone swirls coming in one after another, unimaginable wind, snapping trees off. We don't get that anymore. And if you get wind, it'll be a gust or two, and then it dies back down. It's never what they say. The temperatures are warmer than they say. The rain is less. So moving on to more record warmth, the climate is unraveling, and if I can tie this back into everything else, because I like to focus on the greatest threats we face, it's directly related to everything else. People are worried about jobs and elections and global GDP and geopolitical issues, all of it boils down to the environment. I can't make that point strongly enough. As the environment goes, so does civilization. It's that simple. So I do focus on the environment a lot, and we'll get to the other headlines related to it in a moment. Record-shattering warmth across much of the U.S. this week. Record-shattering, including the Northeast. But now that record warmth is going to turn to snow, down to an elevation of 2,000 feet in some places. What happened? Chemical ice nucleation is happening. It's one of the primary tools in the geoengineer's toolbox. When they have enough moisture, they can chemically nucleate above the clouds, turns what should have been rain into snow. Heavy wet snow, and many times snow that falls at far above freezing temperatures, at least initially, as the chemical ice nucleation process continues to unfold. Those temperatures can be lowered. They can chemically nucleate at already below freezing and lower the temperatures still further. And for those that don't believe this can be done, have you ever had an ice pack from a first aid kit that sat on a shelf at room temperature for 20 years and you mix the chemicals together, you get instant ice? This is what's happening. We have the patents for these processes. We have lab demonstrations on Geoengineering Watch articles. They are absolutely doing this. You can see the video of chemical ice nucleation in some of our articles, a few drops of which in a full vessel of water freezes it instantly. Those who doubt these processes are going on have simply not done their research. Now, why are they doing this? Why are they manufacturing these temporary cooldowns? To continue the division and confusion in the American population and other populations in regard to this true state of the climate, what's happening, and the immediacy of the threats we face. A divided population is much easier to control, period. So they also skew the perception of temperature by the means in which they take records. Here's a headline: October heat wave could shatter 50 records or more. This is from corporate media ABC. Now, this is how they hide the heat. If they generate a chemically nucleated cool down over a given size of area, they'll take records every other block. So they'll claim 1,000 cold records were set. But yet when a massive part of the country is under record heat, somehow only 50 records are set? That's it? And that's very deceiving for the population. They think, oh, there's a lot more cold records being set than warm. But is that the case? No, it's not the case. So we had, again, temperatures in this last week in Kansas City of 102 or 3 degrees. These records were obliterated, but we didn't see that much PR on this, did we? And by the way, on the presidential debates, which is the big distraction, when we have an imploding environment, imploding biosphere, and a planet that's on the fast track to being unable to support life at all, wouldn't you think something about that would be mentioned in the presidential elections? But no, nothing, zero. So we've had the four presidential election debates total, including the VP debate, not a single question on the climate or the rapidly imploding biosphere, none. And by the way, September, the data's in on September now, September 2016 was the 381st consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. And for those people who are still stuck on Al Gore and carbon credits, as I've said so many times, both of which are shams, get over Gore, get over the people that are trying to capitalize on the disintegrating climate, and there'll always be disaster capitalists, but that doesn't mean that the disaster is not real. How many try to profit off war? How many are profiting off war? Our whole country's being kept afloat off the war industry. But does that mean the war's not happening? Do we deny war because someone's making money off it, therefore war must not be real? Of course not. And the same is true with the climate. So we've just passed the 381st consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. September 2016 was yet another all-time record warm month on the planet. That's 17 months in a row of all-time record warm months on the planet. When's the last time we had a record cold month on the planet? Does anybody know? Does anybody talk about it in mainstream media? No. It was 100 years ago, December 1916. That's the last record cold month we had on the planet 100 years ago. We just had 17 months in a row of record warm. Think something's wrong? And for those who deny that this is from human activity, you're living in an absolute delusion. The mathematical possibility of these unprecedented temperature rises on our planet not being related to human activity is a virtual zero. And statisticians have done the math on this. It's a virtual zero. It's absolutely human-caused. Climate engineering, a big part of that. Climate engineering is not a cure. It's a curse. Even worse than the disease, climate engineering is making the planetary meltdown worse, not better. Now, last week I watched the Weather Channel so-called meteorologist Tom Nizel state, quote, "I can assure you that this winter the East Coast will not have the warm temperatures that they had last year," end quote. He said that on the record. How in the world can this Weather Channel meteorologist know that or make such a statement with the tone of certainty that he had? Because he's reading from a script, and that's the plan, to try to nucleate the East Coast, to try to make a winter more like 2014 when Boston had record snows and we had nothing in the Sierras. This is all weather whack-a-mole, and it's getting further and further out of control by the day. And remember this, climate engineering, again, is nothing short of weather warfare. Climate engineering must also be considered biological warfare because climate engineering involves the spraying of tens of millions of tons of highly toxic elements into our skies annually. Tens of millions of tons every year. And where do we come up with that figure? It comes right from the mouth of the world's most recognized geoengineer, David Keith. who stated the goal of putting 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere every single year, never mentioned what happens when we all have to breathe it. And you can see the exchange with Dr. Keith and I at an international geoengineering conference if you simply search David Keith, Dane Wigington. Take a look and see if you don't think there's a problem there. Now, back to weather warfare in the Philippines. As I mentioned earlier in this show, President Duterte said this week, quote, I'm quoting from the Philippine president, I announced my separation from the United States. And he said this to applause at a meeting at the Chinese capital. He's allying with the Chinese. Is that good for America? I wouldn't think so. But who drove him to that point? Who drove him to that point? He continued with this statement. This is a quote from the Philippine president. America does not control our lives. Enough bullshit. Now, I didn't say that. He did. That's from the president of the Philippines that just made the statement I just made. I wouldn't say that, but he did. Now, what has happened to the Philippines in this time which they have disconnected from the U.S.? Philippine cyclone, as I mentioned, Typhoon Haima, known in the Philippines as Lawin, slammed into a province in the Philippines on October 19th as a Category 4 equivalent hurricane. This is a major hurricane, killing many and destroying tens of thousands of homes. This cyclone is the 12th typhoon to hit the Philippines this year and comes just days after the deadly typhoon of Sirica. Is this a coincidence? Slaughtered over and over and over and over. And the U.S. tried with Cyclone Haiyan that decimated the Philippines 2 years ago to move in the military under humanitarian pretexts. It was their only way into the Philippines. And the Philippine president has had enough and kicking them out. So is it just a coincidence, I would ask, that the Philippines have been hit 12 times this year, two major hurricanes in a week, and the U.S. has now gone almost 12 years with no major hurricane impacts. And even the big trumped-up threat from Hurricane Matthew was, in the end, snuffed out, wasn't it? Is this all just a coincidence? And let's bring up a few more details. 2010, Pakistan started to go against U.S. policy. Pakistan then immediately found itself under record flooding. 20% of the country was immersed underwater. 2011, the Philippines. Philippine government refused the U.S. an airbase that certainly it knew was for weather modification. Record flooding in Thailand. Excuse me. Thailand was slaughtered. 2011. It goes on and on. Weather warfare is being used as a weapon all over the globe. It's that simple. And one of the primary ways we can get this issue out into the open is when credible, very well-known individuals begin to talk about it. And we had that happen recently with an interview I did with Dr. Joseph Mercola. Those that keep an eye on the posted geoengineeringwatch.org may have already seen this article that covered the one-hour interview I recently did with Dr. Mercola. For those live listeners in Northern California that have not, this exchange is worth examining. Dr. Mercola carries an immense amount of weight in the alternative medical and health communities, and I'm extremely grateful to him for his courage in addressing the geoengineering issue with me. My thanks to you, Joseph. And for those who want to read this full transcript, it's posted at geoengineeringwatch.org down in the recent column. Another update on methods that we are using to disclose the climate engineering issue. A new film has been completed titled No One Gets Out Alive. This is a documentary film from filmmaker Walter Schmidt. I think I mentioned this in last week's show, but I wanted to mention this. This documentary has now been submitted. I've seen this film, by the way, even though it hasn't been released. I was given a copy, and Walter Schmidt has done an exceptional job of documenting the climate engineering issue and how it relates to other threats we face. He's woven it together very well. The documentary has been submitted to film festivals such as the Sundance Festival, the Doxa Festival in Vancouver, Canada, AFI, CEFF, that's in Colorado, the Atlanta Film Festival, the Phoenix Film Festival, the Sedona International Film Festival. So Walter's doing everything he can to get this film out. And unfortunately, for those that have asked who want to see this film sooner, if Walter were to release the film sooner, he would then be disqualified from the film festivals. And the film festivals will reach many individuals that would not otherwise see this film, and the overall exposure will be greater then. He's also looking at submitting to Cannes, Munich, Berlin, Portugal, Spain, Italy, and others. So we'll hope that that happens. We'll try to assist him in that effort. Many are still distracted by things like the U.S. national debt issue. And those issues, as I've stated, mean nothing compared to the biosphere implosion. That's real wealth. Printed paper is not real wealth. You can't eat it. You can't build anything out of it. It won't shelter you. It won't keep you warm. The environment is the only true wealth, real resources. So as this happens, as the power structures become more desperate, as their behaviors become more desperate, and we see this happening, and I'll get to some of those desperate points in a moment, like, again, the U.S. granting passage for 9,000 ISIS fighters to leave Iraq and go to Syria to continue their carnage. It's all related to the biosphere implosion because those in power know the sand in the hourglass for the current paradigm is rapidly running out. That's a mathematical fact. Julian Assange this week, thanks to U.S. pressure on Ecuador, had his internet access taken down. It's disappointing that Ecuador would respond to John Kerry's request to shut down Assange. And if there was nothing to hide, why would they be trying so hard to hide it? On that note, a movie I would recommend along these lines of what's trying to be hidden, it's called Good Kill. It's at theaters now. It's on HBO. It's based on a true story of drone operators and exactly what they're made to do. And here's what they're made to do. The CIA took over command of some of the drone operations, and they would kill anybody they want to. And then, and this is most horrific, when they bomb a site in the middle of a city and people come to try to rescue or see what happened, they wait until there's the maximum amount of people at that bomb site and they bomb it again, called the double tap. Exactly what the terrorists have done to U.S. troops that enraged so many Americans that they would blow off an IUD. And then when the troops came around to try to rescue or sort through the damage, they would blow off another bomb. And that enraged the U.S. military and the U.S. population. And so we're doing exactly the same thing there. And let's keep in mind, who's in whose country? Who is in whose country? If we had the Iraqi army here or the Syrian army here or any one of the other many countries that we've destabilized, how would we respond? And yet somehow, Americans have convinced themselves that how dare these other countries have our resources on their soil? As if we have a right to their resources, some sort of entitlement that allows us or mandates that we go topple their country and take their resources, because ultimately that's what it's all about. And on that note, here's a few headlines. And this, again, this weaves all into the biosphere implosion, weather being used as a weapon, the power structure becoming more desperate. And bear with me through this, because on the election issue, we don't have a choice. But I want to read these headlines. U.S. foreign policy, this is the headline, U.S. foreign policy elite eagerly await an expansion of overseas wars under Hillary Clinton. I don't think we can argue that's going to happen. How do you end up with the wife of a former criminal president, the wife herself being a criminal, with the whole power structure trying to hide her criminality? How is she even allowed to run? How is the son of a former president allowed to run? And then his brother allowed to run? This is not democracy. It's simply a criminal cabal trying to game the whole system. How obvious can this be? Another headline. As election day nears, military hawks circle to promote new wave of war. From that report, this statement, though the hawkish stance of Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton has been too often ignored this election season, new reporting on Thursday highlights how her presumed win in November will likely usher in a much more aggressive bipartisan foreign policy in the Middle East and beyond. All out war. That's where we're headed. It's happening right now. And yet, who's blamed? Russia, Russia, Russia blamed for everything. Everything. The email leaks. Nobody on mainstream news wants you to think about what those leaks contained, wherever they came from. They only want to blame Russia for everything, for what's happened in Ukraine, which wasn't Russia that instigated that. And I'm not pro-Russia. I'm not pro-Putin. But I'm simply, at this particular point, He's behaving in a far more reasonable, rational fashion than anybody in the U.S. military-industrial complex or NATO. Another headline, the risks of Clinton's Syrian no-fly zone. From that report, Hillary Clinton's scheme for a, quote, no-fly zone, if implemented without the Syrian government's approval, would be an act of war and a risk of nuclear showdown with Russia. The U.S. has boots on the ground in 156 countries. What do you think would happen if Russia came to any of those countries where the U.S. was either forced, has forced their way into those countries through various means that I've mentioned, but they have bases there, so that country is allowing them to be there for whatever reason. What would happen if Russia came in and told the U.S. they couldn't fly in that country, that only Russia could fly there? What do you think would happen? And that's exactly the scenario in Syria. Russia's been invited by the legitimate government of that country to be there, and the U.S. is going to tell Russia that they can't fly, only U.S. and NATO can fly? Would any rational person think that that's okay? Of course not, but Americans are too busy with football games and iPhones and watching the complete theater of the election, which is ridiculous. And one more headline on that note, Australia tagging along into other nations' wars. From that report, since World War II, the U.S. has been the big boss, leading a band of lackey nations, mostly in Europe, but reaching distant Australia, which tags along for the periodic pummeling of some helpless country. How true is that? And I know someone from Australia that I once respected who, he made this statement to me, you have to run with the big dogs, which means Australia is a smaller nation, they have to stick with the U.S. Where is morality in the equation? Doesn't that matter at all? You just have to stick with the big bullies so you feel you're safe, and that's your strategy? It's absolutely why the world is in such a dismal state. And on that note, too, I forced myself to watch a speech by Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, each doing separate speeches of unimaginable hypocrisy. Unimaginable. I can't believe anybody buys the sort of complete disinformation and outright lies that come from these people. And how could Barack Obama have the Nobel Peace Prize? I can't even begin to imagine that. He's responsible for tens of thousands of innocent deaths, and who knows how many more that we really don't know about, supplying arms to the Saudi Arabians that are slaughtering people in Yemen. I'll get more on that in a moment. But given even all that I just went over, if you think Donald Trump is the answer to our problems, you're also living in a delusion. Trump is a fool, and that is, he's so far been allowed to play his part in the drama. The only two positives I can say about Trump are this. He's not inclined to start World War III, and the power structure clearly does not want him. Those points matter, of course. I'm not saying they don't. But again, the whole election facade is an orchestrated affair, and the entire system is criminally corrupt, completely manipulated. And why do Americans continue to participate in this corruption? You don't have paperless voting machines for no reason. It's all orchestrated. How many times were we told it was going to be changed? How many remember? Who could watch Barack Obama, the change you can believe in lie? He's simply a Manchurian candidate for the power structure. And so was Bush and all the rest of them. There's no difference. It's about time you realize that. Now, about what the U.S. is doing with the ISIS fighters. Here's a headline. U.S. and Saudis to grant 9,000 ISIS fighters free passage from Iraq, Mosul, to Syria. From that report, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia have agreed to grant free passage to thousands of Islamic State militants before the Iraqi city of Mosul is stormed. It's being stormed now, by the way. The jihadists will be redeployed to fight against the government in Syria. A military diplomatic source told RAI. That's a news source. Now, continuing from that report, more than 9,000 Islamic State ISIS fighters, militants, will be redeployed from Mosul to the eastern regions of Syria to carry out major offensive operations, which involves capturing other cities in Syria, such as Palmyra. The report continues, U.S. President Barack Obama has already sanctioned an operation to liberate Mosul due to take place in October. Again, it's taking place now. This article was from earlier in the week before it had started. Now, why would the U.S. and Saudi Arabia give these ISIS fighter free passage out of that conflict zone? I've been covering this week in, week out. I'll get to that. So from this report, continuing, apart from the purely political dividends, the other purpose of this operation, i.e. to allow these fighters to escape and go fight in Syria, will be to discredit the success of Russian airspace forces, and of course it's an attempt to undermine the Syrian government. Continuing from the report, the leadership of Saudi Arabia's General Intelligence Directorate will be the mediators and guarantors of the agreement on safe passage for the jihadists from Mosul. Many Americans are still buying into the lies, and they would throw their arms up hearing a story like this and say, why would they do this? Why would our government do this? How many facts do you need? How many catastrophes do you need over how many decades? False flag events like 9/11, like the Gulf of Tonkin, like Saddam Hussein's non-existent weapons of mass destruction, because the military-industrial complex lives and survives off of conflicts, period. Why would we not believe it is a primary goal of them to fuel those conflicts and use those conflicts to further destabilize and topple governments in areas they want to take over control of? Going all the way back to so many previous shows, the grand chessboard from Brzezinski, the presidential advisor, confirmed by Wesley Clark immediately after 9/11, they had all these nations in the Middle East that they wanted to topple and destabilize. All this plan was in place before 9/11 even happened. They needed 9/11 as a license to fully unleash the military-industrial complex with the full support of the American population, because the American population was being told how many times over and over and over, the terrorists, the terrorists, the terrorists. It's all we hear out of these people. But who's spawning, fueling, and funding those terrorists? Who just gave 9,000 of them safe passage out of one conflict zone into another so they could keep the fight going? That's what this is about. Americans need to start looking at reality. If we're to have any chance of changing direction, of correcting the current course, we must look at reality, period. Finishing from this report, Damascus has accused Washington of coordinating with ISIS after an airstrike against the Syrian government troops near the city of, I'm not even going to go there, I'm pronouncing that one, on September 17th, I outlined this in former shows. So immediately when the ceasefire was put in place, Washington accidentally killed 83 of the soldiers that were in the most key position to hold ISIS where they were, and ISIS gained a great deal of ground after that. Key airstrike, killing a key group of soldiers. Just an accident? Just a mistake? And Washington admitted to this mistake, of course. But how many other, quote, mistakes have been made that were so convenient for keeping the terrorists going again and again and again? And you can't convince me. How could you convince any rational person that our military couldn't deal with ISIS, a ragtag group of soldiers that, by the way, are getting weapons from Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and those weapons are coming from the U.S. All this is proven, but aside from that fact, are we to be convinced that our military couldn't deal with ISIS, that has no air force, no aircraft whatsoever, that drives around in Toyota trucks, which also, by the way, were supplied by the Pentagon? That's a historical fact as well. And please, I encourage everyone, to investigate what I'm saying. Don't believe anything I'm saying. Investigate it, period. Because it's clear that the, quote, terrorists are being used as a mechanism of the power structure to fulfill their agenda, period. And those who still believe the official 9/11 story, that a diabetic Arab hiding in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan could completely outflank the U.S. military, taking down some of the largest buildings in New York, three buildings, not two, anyone who believes that has not looked at the facts at all. And if you really care about your country, if you really claim to be patriotic, go pick up a copy of the 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth documentary, which will alter your world, will alter your perception of the world, not because they have a certain opinion, because they present facts that make it impossible to rationally believe the official narrative. That simple. And when you realize 9/11 was a false flag event, then you start to put all these other pieces of the puzzle in place. Same thing with the climate modification, which is weather warfare. When you understand the history behind climate engineering, and we have, for those who say, we have right now scientists in academia that are lying. They're absolutely lying because they're paid to lie. Saying that we don't have the technology yet to carry on this type of weather intervention. Well, then how come I have copies of popular science from the 1950s that I published? I have the original article, the original magazines I have in my possession. I have two of them. And also Collier's magazine stating on the record then the technology was available then. We have patents from the late 40s and 50s for the processes we see going on in our sky. So how do we have scientists today claiming that the technology doesn't quite exist yet? Some scientists don't say that. David Key says it's there, it's ready, it's cheap, we should do it as if we're not doing it already. So you have a lot of conflict within academia as well. But what rational human being, if they looked at the facts, they see the U.S. military stating on the record that the climate disintegration, greatest threat of all. This is why I keep plugging the climate back into this equation, because it is the core part. The imploding ability for the planet to support life is the core part of this equation. And that's why the U.S. military brass has stated on the record again and again and again, it's the greatest national security threat of all. And it plugs into the quest for resources in these countries, because the massive flow of hydrocarbon fuels is needed to fuel the military industrial machine, which includes climate engineering. Some of the aircraft using climate engineering, tankers like KC-135s, can burn a gallon of fuel a second. 1 gallon a second. How much fuel do you think is being used to fly these aircraft around and fill the skies with particulates in the completely insane attempt by the military-industrial complex and governments around the globe to confuse the American population, to try to block some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation, to try to hide the planetary meltdown as long as possible, but also to manipulate the weather as a weapon, as we just outlined with the Philippines, Thailand, Pakistan, Vietnam, and the Vietnam War, Project Popeye. This has been going on for decades. This is all historical, documented fact. All of it comes down to power and control, all of it. And for those people who ask over and over and over, why would they do this? Why would they do this? Why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't those who are clinically psychopathic, who crave power at any cost, why wouldn't they do this? How could we think otherwise? I'm simply trying, in whatever means I can, to present facts in a way that encourage people to actually investigate and understand. If you think you can hide from what's coming, you can't. And it's coming like a freight train. It's kicking the door in right now. Our troubles are here. They're not off on the horizon. So as the biosphere implodes, the power structure's out of options, and pushing toward World War III, the Western power structure's pushing toward World War III, thus the attempt to protect the ISIS fighters, to keep them in the game. And also here's another question. Why is Israel giving medical treatment to ISIS fighters? Why is that? You can look that information up as well. Washington helping them, Israel helping them. Why is that? Now, for the public, what does it take to connect the dots? What does it take? So we're pushing toward World War III, and no matter how damning the behavior is for the U.S. and the actions of the U.S., no matter how many countries the U.S. stabilizes and topples throughout various means, including weather warfare, no matter how many civilians the U.S. kills with its own drones or by proxy, by supplying an endless supply of weapons to countries like Saudi Arabia, which end up in the hands of terrorists like ISIS, still the convenient scapegoat of the moment is always demonized. Saddam Hussein in the past, Gaddafi, and now it's Russia, Russia, Russia. And I'm not saying these entities are benevolent at all, but I'm saying they're being used as scapegoats, period. Does one choose to take a stand and fight for the greater good only if a happy ending is guaranteed? Or does one take such a course because standing up for the greater good is the right thing to do, period? Because we don't own our lives. We owe them to our children. because doing the right thing is not just an option, but an obligation we owe to the whole, period. Find out what's going on around you. Investigate the facts and make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.